All right, what's up? It's another KFC Radio Quickie. Today we are talking to Cameron Monahan. You know him as Ian from Shameless. You know him as the Joker from Gotham. One of the most impressive actors I've ever met, I've ever watched, I've ever talked to. This dude is deep. This guy is very smart, super talented. So he was cool enough to come by and hang out in the studio for a little bit. So this quickie with Cameron is brought to you by ButcherBox. ButcherBox delivers healthy, 100% grass-fed and grass-finished beef, free-range organic chicken, and heritage breed pork directly to your door. Each box comes with at least 8 to 11 pounds of meat, which is enough for 24 individual-sized meals, where you can choose from 5 different box types. You get all beef, you can get beef and chicken, beef and pork, you can do the mixed box, or you can do the custom box where you get to choose your own cuts. So think of ButcherBox as your neighborhood butcher, with all the quality meat, beef, chicken, pork, whatever, except it gets delivered right to your door. You can choose the delivery frequency, and you can choose the meat boxes you want. So everything is to your liking, when you want it, how you want it. And it comes from humanely raised, open pasture animals that are never fed antibiotics, hormones, or fatty filters. So it's the highest quality meat, the safest meat, and it gets delivered right to your door. So right now you can get $20 off your first box and you get a free order of bacon when you go to butcherbox.com/KFC and then you enter the code KFC. So like I said, get a customized box, get it delivered however you want it, whenever you want it, and get $20 off plus some free bacon. It's the most American offer you get. Free bacon and a discount. That's America. Go to butcherbox.com/KFC and enter the code KFC. Check, 1, 2. We're here with Cameron Monahan. We're going to talk all sorts of stuff. We got Gotham. We got Shameless. Good to go.
Yep. My name is John.
He's the worst mic checker in the world.
That's sick.
I'm like so bad at it.
Rather embarrassing.
That's cool, man. You got a career in freestyle rap, for sure.
I fucking froze so bad that time. That was one of the worst ones ever. I was like, I don't know what to say.
Yeah. Just count. That's all you have to do, man.
You just bring his mic up a little bit.
Yeah, you just got to talk like into it.
Oh, okay. I see. I got to really get close to it, make love to it.
We like to get into it. Get passionate.
I wonder how much spit and semen this thing is covered with.
Let's hope not semen.
Semen? I gotta hope it's a
semen. I don't know what you guys
one.
Doing here when no one's in here.
You know what? Neither do we.
This
like,
floor is so sticky.
I know it's not
I feel
my
dirty
semen.
Dirty here.
Well, you what? You mean it's not like very.
We're like,
pleasing
we're like
to the
four
eye.
Guests in a row being like, hey,
this place
sucks.
Sucks.
You guys need to work on it.
The bathroom situation is really mortifying. So we saw that you went downstairs.
Yeah.
Like, we only have two up here, and it's just, like, single bathrooms.
There's 80 dudes in this building right now.
Way
too many guys.
And, like, three or four guests in a row have come in here and made fun of how shitty this room is, and they've also needed to use the bathroom, and, like, it's either been locked or gross. And
so
like,
they
God,
just go here.
Every and that's time. Why the floor is gross, yeah. And that's why it smells bad in here. The voice you hear is Cameron Monahan. You know him from Shameless and now Gotham, where he is playing the Joker. You're an incredible actor, man.
Thanks, man.
And you've been doing it for a while now. I mean, how old are you now?
I'm 25.
25. It took you a minute there.
I think I'm 25.
Did you just turn 25?
I never know how old age I am either. I'm 20-something. I forget.
Once you hit the quarter life, I think you start losing track a little bit.
Have you had a quarter life crisis yet?
I think I'm in the midst of it
now. Is it happening? Because I feel like 27 is usually where I had it at 27. I'm now 33. He's a couple years behind me. He had it at 27. I feel like 27 is a year where you really start.
I might have been
like,
26.
You were ahead of the curve. Uh-huh. That's very on brand for the depression, and you're ahead of the curve when it comes to that. I think 27 is where a lot of people start to be like, what am I doing with my life? What the fuck's going on?
Yeah, but like that's like people in cubes. Like,
correct.
Cameron's
that's
a
why,
very successful actor.
That's
I feel
why
like
I wanted to ask.
I mean, I've been working from a really young age. Yeah. I was working since 8 years old. So I think I had like a little bit of a different thing with that. And I also always had like really dark fascinations as a kid. Like I always was obsessed with death. Like I was very convinced from like 8 years old that I was going to die at any moment.
Let me tell you something. You were on the right program. We talk like this all the time.
So I think I had my quarter life crisis when I was like 8 because I just figured I was never going to make it to this age. Like every day that I wake up, I'm like, oh shit, I'm still here. I don't know how. But
you seem excited about it. Like every day we wake up, we're like, ah shit, we're still here.
Fuck.
It's the opposite. Like, it's a fantasy. It's not like a fear. It's like a fantasy. It's like, oh, I'm going to die one day.
Am I allowed to say the F-bomb, by
the
way?
Oh, fuck you.
All right, fuck yeah.
Anything can go here.
Okay.
Well, that's perfect, then I think that's why you play the Joker so well. I mean, the Joker is an iconic role that, I mean, everybody, literally everybody in the world knows at this point. But it's a really tough character to play, and you have massive shoes to fill at this point with the
big
people
clown
who have,
shoes.
Yeah, I mean,
big
the people
clown
who,
shoes
have,
to step into.
Who have come before you playing that from, you know, that Nicholson all the way, obviously Heath Ledger, and now Jared Leto, now you. I mean,
yeah.
They're all heavy, heavy hitter. Were you intimidated by that, or were you
yeah.
like...
I mean, it's obviously an intimidating thing. Like, you know, he's probably just in the comics realm the most well-known villain of all time.
Period. Yeah.
He's been played by legendary actors on screen, and even like when it comes to the cartoons, you know, Mark Hamill's been playing this guy for 20-something years at this point.
Realize
and
that,
it's
yeah.
kind of
you didn't know Hamill's
legendary.
Voice?
I did not.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of big shoes to step into, and thankfully I kind of got backdoored into it a little bit. You know, I came on for one episode in the first season, and they were like, this is a character sort of hinting to the Joker, but we don't really know if you're going to be back or what's going to happen with it. And so I did this one, and it went very well, and it sort of caught fire a little bit, went viral a little bit, and they were like, okay, this works. We like this. Let's bring this kid back again. And it's kind of been a gradual stepping into the role, and I've kind of gotten to grow and mature with the character. Mm-hmm. And now we're approaching it from another way. If we have, as hokey as it is to say, there's a twin brother, yeah. which should be a soap opera twist. And in many ways, comic books kind of
yeah,
are soap operas
are.
A little
yeah.
bit.
The dramatics are ratcheted up a little bit.
But for some reason, I actually think it works with the character of the Joker. And I think it works because his origin is always sort of convoluted and weird, and there's a lot of stuff about like duality with mm-hmm. this character. So having a reflection of this guy who is completely different but still two sides of the same coin, I think was an interesting challenge. And so this guy that I'm playing now is very reserved and intellectual, and his sadism comes from a more a subtle sort of place, and that's been really exciting to be able to play too this year. And I think it's scary. I think it's actually yeah. scary, which is fun.
Well, you know what's scary about it is like the psychological aspect is scary. It's not like, you know, like jump out at you scary, but it's like that scene where you first kind of like flipped the switch and went crazy on like your dad was like, oh, this guy is fucking nuts. Like this is scary because you're capable of like anything when you're crazy like that.
Yeah.
Did you ever buy into, you know, kind of like the unfortunate like urban legend that surrounds playing this role, that it's so psychologically taxing, and obviously
you know,
Heath Ledger tragedy, and
it's funny. Heath, from what I understand, or Mr. Ledger, I guess I should call him. I don't know him personally, but he died during the filming of the Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus, not during The Dark Knight, which is what for some reason there's been a sort of urban legend and urban myth that's surrounded the guy, and everyone says, oh, he was so dark and so fucked up, and he had all this stuff. And look, he had darkness. Everyone has darkness. He obviously was able to access it in a very great way because he created one of the most iconic villain performances of all time. But from what I understand, he was a very full of life guy who was the guy whose doors were always open at his house, and people came over and hung out with him, and he was joyous. And from what I understand, he was that joyous on set too, and he wasn't just this
consumed
dark,
by it,
dour cloud. So it's kind of interesting how mythology can surround a person like that. I find personally, I do have to somewhat stay in character when I'm on set. You know, I can't just be talking about the fucking weather when I'm trying to do this, because there's only so much time in the day to be able to do this, you know. And it's very elaborate. The camera setups and the sets and everything are very elaborate, and sometimes we only have time to get it right once. So everyone has to be on point, and that means that there's not a lot of fucking around, unfortunately, you know. But that
does mean that you go around, like, do you do the Leto? Like, wasn't Leto mailing dildos and, like,
he was fucking
hearts and, like, all kinds of weird shit?
Yeah.
Like, just staying in character.
Man, he got in right before the Me Too thing, didn't he? The whole, like, mailing used condom thing is, like, probably
that doesn't play
a few
now.
Months later. He probably couldn't have gotten away with that. I don't know. I mean, I think that everyone has their own point of access into a character, and everyone's going to approach it a little bit differently. Obviously, there's only a certain level of being method that you could do. Like, you can't be running around going, and fucking stabbing people, you know? Right. It's just it, obviously that method only really means that you're trying to access something personally that to then utilize it for the character, right?
Right.
And we all, in some way, are utilizing our personal experiences and our own knowledge. I think everyone, to at least a certain extent, is a method actor if they're an actor. You know, I do try to remain in a certain headspace and, you know, fucking concentrate.
Because what you're telling me is everybody on the set thinks you're a crazy person.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing.
But we also argue that, like, not you kind of limited to just actors. Like, every person is a method actor. Like, every single day, I'm pretending to be someone that I'm not really.
All
like,
the time.
I'm being, like, a nice, kind person in the office. And I'm really not. But I'm just pretending to be because I have to be in public.
Yeah, we've said that, especially, like, in terms of, like, relationships, you're only, like, 10% of your real self. Everything else, you're kind of putting out a front there.
I think it slowly but surely drips out, you know.
And then the relationship
course.
Ends. Yeah. Once
you reach critical mass, then
this is really you? I don't even like you.
Oh, God.
I've been tricked for the last 3 years. What are we doing?
Did you find that working on Shameless helped in any way with the Joker? Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's some dark shit and heavy shit in Shameless that can apply.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a different kind of show. Shameless is much more rough and tumble and you know, with something that's a larger budget adaptation of comic material, it tends to be more polished. You know, on Shameless, things are held handheld, and it's really kind of gritty and something like Gotham, you know, it's just, it takes longer. We work very, very fast on Shameless, and that means that you learn quickly how to catch on to rhythm and keep it moving and to make sure that you're in it and you're aware of what's going on. You know, a lot of times on our sets, there's 10 characters in a scene all moving around sort of loosely around a set, and the cameraman is spinning, catching these little moments, and it makes it feel very alive. And so in certain ways, it almost is theatrical. It feels a little bit like a theater production. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of really fucking talented people on that set, you know. I'm working with Bill Macy, and also like the younger actors too bring a lot, and I've learned a lot from them. And I think that with any sort of experience that you gain, you're going to use it in ways that you might not even be aware of.
Mm-hmm. Like subconsciously, it kind of becomes who you are. Yeah,
definitely.
Would you say that you like grew up as a, not as an actor, but just like as a person on Shameless? I mean,
oh yeah, definitely.
Right? So I'm just thinking, like, I always hear stories of like Saved by the Bell, like Zach Morris is like, my first kiss was like on camera, and it's like a little cookie cutter, like funny.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you're like, yeah, well, my first like gay bipolar fucking abusive relationship was with Mickey, and like, I mean, you were going through some. I mean, that's some intense stuff for like a 13 or 10, 15 year old like character. I mean,
I was 15. I was 15 when I shot the pilot episode of the show. I did meet my first girlfriend on that set. She was like working as like one of the crew members' nieces who was just helping around the office. Mm-hmm. And like during the lunch period, I would sneak on the set with her and like make out in like the fake couches and stuff, which I've never said out loud before. So now people think I'm really professional. I heard shit coming out of people's mouths at 15. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe you can actually say that out loud. And you know, and it, because the subject matter is raunchy, it requires a certain level of maturity to be able to approach it. And they were very good and conscious of that when I was younger to make sure that they weren't putting me in positions that were something that I couldn't handle. But you naturally mature on a set like that, and you learn a lot.
So you're saying they waited till you're a little bit older to go into some of like the heavier shit with Mickey and all that kind of stuff?
I think so. You know, I grew up watching stuff from a young age. My mom like never really tried to shelter me from that stuff. I remember when I was 10 years old, I could quote Reservoir Dogs from beginning to end.
Yeah.
You know, like so. She allowed me to have a certain level of awareness and openness with that. But that being said, any teenager doesn't really know what's up with, you know, their who they are, how they function sexually, all these things that until you're a little bit older, you're not able to do. And thankfully, I got to kind of learn along with the character and go on that process with So it was interesting. It was a journey.
You've done a lot of like journeys with characters. Like you first came on with Malcolm in the Middle as like the special needs kid.
Mm.
Then you did Gay Bipolar.
Yeah.
Now the Joker. Any interest in like just doing a rom com, just like making out with Mila Kunis one day?
I wouldn't turn down that possibility. If my girlfriend's listening, I'm sorry.
I think she'd understand. I mean,
she wants to make out with Mila Kunis too. Actually, I did a rom com. It's called The Year of Spectacular Men. It's going to come out in theaters in the next couple months.
Okay, there we go.
So yeah, and I think it's going to get released on on demand and all that stuff too at around the same time. And that's much lighter and kind of fun. And I do like doing that stuff too. I grew up with a somewhat comedy background, and now I've kind of transitioned into more dramedy or just straight up drama stuff, but I still like that stuff, you know. It's all fun.
I feel like you get a script for like a rom com and it's like, all right, so wait, there's no bipolar, there's no alcoholism, there's no murder, this is cake.
I don't have
whatever.
To tap into the inner 8-year-old who wants to die.
I can just keep that at bay.
I can just like smile at camera and do some like cute stuff. Like that's what I want to do. That's where I'm
so
at.
So in
flex
the scene with
a little bit, whatever.
In the scene with Katherine Heigl. Can he be cutting himself?
So we got a couple calls here. We do a lot of relationship talk here, and people are just looking for life advice. So I feel like you're a good therapist for some of these people out there. So we'll see what we got.
Why would you ever say
that? Because that's what we say. Why the fuck do you call us and ask us questions?
We don't know the answer. We certainly don't have good advice, but they seem to keep calling.
All right.
Hi, KSC, Feidelberg, Super Producer BC, first time, long time. So first of all, I want to tell you that you've been a part of my daily routine for the past like 3 years, listen to your podcast work every day. So huge fan from Boston. So anyways, I have a dilemma. I'm hooking up with this guy really casually, not a huge fan of commitment. So trying to keep him at a distance. We've been good friends for a while, even before we were hooking up, but he recently found out I was hooking up with a girl at the same time as I was hooking up with him from a mutual friend of ours. I didn't think to mention I was bisexual in the first place because the first question a guy usually asks when they find that out is, can we have a threesome? Tell me all about her. Tell me what you do with her. Blah, blah, blah.
Fair.
It's always something along those lines. So, of course, that happens the second he finds out. And the guy basically has said, you're selfish if you don't want to have one. It makes you less. You're not willing to do this for me. Basically making me feel, like, pretty shitty about not wanting to. I don't know. And I found that threesomes, like, in real life, like, outside of porn are wildly overrated majority of the time. And I've explained that to the guy that I like to keep the guy and the girl separate, I guess, and not combine the experiences. Do you think I'm being a dick for not sharing her? Or how do I handle the situation? And what are your thoughts if it was you?
So you're a perfect, you are good for this question here. I feel like, as you just explained, you're on a set meeting your girlfriend while eventually on the same show, you're hooking up with a guy, I feel like maybe on some level you can kind of relate here. What would be your advice?
I don't know, dude. With relationships, I'm pretty honesty is the best policy, and I think that like even if she's saying it's casual, it's like you can't be hooking up with someone else for a long period of time and like not telling them of someone else
just
that you're kind of
girl.
Yeah, I mean, it's just sort of like
you feel like I think like we've been like conditioned like throughout life like. If it's a girl, it's fine.
It doesn't count.
So she
doesn't
think that like, she has to, like, she can keep
but,
it.
But, well, so here's the thing. I think that she's being a little shady by keeping that, like, secret. But then this dude's reaction of basically, like, you all have to fuck me or you're being selfish.
Yeah, you're being really selfish right now.
Like, you're pretty much, like, forcing sex on someone. Yeah. I don't think that's exactly a good look.
I don't know.
So.
Yeah. it seems like it's maybe a little bit of a weird toxic situation. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on there, but I think she needs to say, dude, I shouldn't have kept this from you, but that being said, I kept it from you because of this reason.
Right. And right. It's a valid point to be like, every time I bring it up, the first 10 questions are all exactly what you just asked me.
They're
so.
Really 1,000. I mean, and guess what? I'd be doing. I'd be unoriginal. I'd be the same way. 100%. I'd be like, hang on, you're hooking up with a girl?
Let's write down all the notes.
Let's talk.
Yeah. And then I guess I wouldn't know from personal experience, but I feel like the idea of a threesome in real life is probably more of a mess than porn will allow you to think.
I think I would have questions and I'd like want to know about it, but I don't think I'd be like, let's have a threesome because this guy's not there.
I can barely please one. It's just double the work, man. So.
I'm like Seinfeld. Like, I'm not a threesome guy. I can't pull that off. Like, I'm not a superhero, so what am I going to do?
Hey, KFC Fights, Super Reducer BC. First time, long time. Got a quick question for you guys. So I'm hooking up with this girl for a little bit, right? Last time we hooked up was about 2 months ago. She's at my place. We wake up. She needs to go back to her place. She needs a shirt. So I unthinkingly give her one of my work shirts. It's just a t-shirt, summer job. But, you know, it's about time to go back to work for me now. I'm in college. And I'm thinking, I kind of want the shirt back. You know, normally I'd say, 2 months, you know, too long. It's hers now. The period's been gone. You know, grace period's over. It's hers. But, you know, this is my special shirt, you know. They don't make the shirt anymore. I really want the shirt back. It sounds stupid, I know, but it's one of those things where, you know, it kind of makes the day better. You know, and I got to go to this shitty job, but, hey, I got my special shirt, and I really want it back. So is the period over? Like, is the grace period over? Is it too late? Can I get the shirt back? Is there anything I can do, or do I just have to call it quits? You know, it's been too long.
I love how he first starts off being like, I gave her a work shirt. It's a t-shirt.
It's just a shirt. Yeah. It's just a shirt. But it's a really special shirt.
But it's like the love of my life.
I like to imagine him like crying over a bottle of whiskey every night thinking about this shirt. Dude, you gave your shirt away. Like everyone knows that chicks steal your clothes.
It's as cliche as it gets.
The boyfriend hoodie is like, it's so cliche. That being said, if you have her information, if you really want to get the shirt back, how about be nice, get her another shirt or something, then you have a little bit of a trade and say, hey, this thing means something.
I disagree. There's,
you think it's over?
You cannot ask for a shirt. That's,
I don't know.
That's a transaction.
Yeah, no, I agree.
That's the, like the transaction.
Like, I gave you sex.
So. Yeah.
when you leave a bedroom or something like that, like, you know how like when you leave a store, it's like all sales final? All sales are final with whatever she walks out of your room with, that's hers now. Even you, those are her shoes.
Dude,
stores.
I take
that's
a chair or a table or something every time I hook up with somebody. So I'm walking out the door. Oh, flat screen.
Do you think that there's no statute? Like, maybe like 2 months is too much, I think. 2 months, it's in God's hands. She might have moved it. It might be someone else's now.
I think by the end of the week, if you don't have that shirt back, you're just screwed.
I think you get maybe like one more like date or hookup or something where maybe it can come up. Yeah. But other than that, then it's gone.
I think when you get the shirt back, it's insulting. Like, I don't want my clothes back. Because it's almost like... Like I don't even think anything of you. Like I got mailed a shirt back once, and it's the meanest thing that's ever happened to me in my life.
Low.
Mailed to this office, I hid it right away. I didn't want even to see it. Like, dude, why is someone mailing you a sweatshirt?
Wow.
Because she took it and she just, and it wasn't even like a relationship, like we're over, here's your stuff back kind of thing. Uh-huh. It was just a girl I hooked up with, somehow found the Barstool address, mailed me my sweatshirt back. And this is the first time I've said it out loud. I felt like
everybody's in the trunk for your day.
Biggest piece of shit. Like oh man, I am just like worthless.
Because you almost want her to be like snuggling with it at night. You know what I mean? Like, I need to keep this.
It's,
least, instead,
right?
She's like, you can have this back, dude. The shirt and you kind of suck. We got one more, or is that it? That's it. All right, dude. So, Joker is just awesome. I mean, it's a very cool, like, thing to put on your resume. And, like, I feel like one day when you look back after, like, a long career that you've been doing since you were, like, 0 years old, I feel like the Joker, no matter what, will be at the top of, like, anybody's list of achievements. So
it's
that's pretty sick. Pretty cool. And Shameless, too. Like, Shameless has been on the air for, like, 65 seasons now. Yeah. So, like, and some of the names you worked with. It's all just very impressive. You're a really good actor, dude. Very, very good stuff, man.
Thanks so much, man.
Anytime you want to come by, you're welcome. So,
sweet.
Have a good one.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, bro. Good stuff.
Thanks, man.
Great. Pleasure to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Mind if we grab a couple pics outside?
No, absolutely. Cool.